Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee and Anna Ming, a podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ, to provoke you to find your calling in the Lord, brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on a journey to reaching the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. So sit back, we hope you enjoy the podcast, and we pray it encourages and blesses you.
Hello and welcome to Crosstalk. Today we have the pleasure of having Annie Burns with us. She's going to give us her testimony, and she's going to talk about beauty from ashes. So we have a treat today. Welcome, Annie.
Hello, everybody.
And anyways, Uncle Bill's going to ask her a question.
Amen, amen. Well, Annie, we're really blessed to have the woman of God here. And here's what we was wanting to ask you. When did you get saved and where?
I got saved shortly after the L.A. revival. I had went to the revival, and I seen Anna Mae and a bunch of my friends get saved. And I went home to Houston. We were staying in Houston, and somebody gave me a phone call. And they said to me, oh, you're going, there's going to be a big tent revival in Spiral, Oklahoma. Are you going to come? And I said, well, maybe. I hadn't really thought about coming. I hadn't really heard about it. And I went to my brothers, and they were always, you know, game for fun and someplace different. So I got them on the case. And then we went to my mother, and she said, okay, well, I'll take you. And we all hopped in the car, and we went. And when we went there, the people that I had went to meet didn't show up.
Amen.
So I was outside, you know, how we all kind of stand outside, even church today. I was standing outside the tent. It was a big, huge tent set up, and I was kind of standing outside, and, you know, I had high heels on. I was young, and my feet got sore, and I was like, it was hot, and I ended up being kind of slowly, gradually made my way in the tent. And when I went in the tent, I sat towards the back, you know, because I didn't know what to expect, and it had been like a new movement at the time, and we really weren't used to that. You know, we had went to like traditional churches, and when I sat in the back, the pastor began to preach, and I don't really remember the pastor, but I remember he preached on a loving Jesus that could save us. And towards the end of that service, I knew that I had to meet this Jesus, that I wanted him in my heart, and I wanted him to rule and reign in my life. And I got up when they had the altar call, and they had maybe 60 people at the altar that night. And I walked down, and I give my life to Christ, and truly, I don't think I ever looked back from there.
Amen.
I fell in love with Jesus that very night.
Praise God.
And I don't think I ever felt the same since that.
Amen.
That was beautiful, Annie.
Mm-hmm.
That was really touching. Sandy, what I'd like to ask you is, and I got to say, that was a beautiful testimony that you just gave about when you got saved. So what I'd like to ask you is the 70s move. How would you explain it, the atmosphere of it at that time? And do you have anything that stands out to you, maybe a couple things, whatever, what you remember about that 70s move?
It truly was an unexplainable time. Everybody was really on fire. All we spoke about was Jesus. All we wanted to talk about was Jesus. All we thought about was Jesus. You know, I went home from that revival to Houston, and there was tons of youth there, and we had, you know, pastors there, and we would have, like, now they have pop-up things. We kind of had pop-up meetings everywhere we were at. Like, we couldn't get enough. You know, we just couldn't get enough. We always wanted to hear more. And we wanted our friends to be involved. You know, we didn't want to leave anybody out. We wanted to tell everybody about our experience that we had and that we wanted them to have it too. You know, and it was electrifying. It was catching. It caught on. Like, you know, if you had it, you wanted it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we were very, very hungry to hear about the Lord, and the more we got, the more we wanted. And I remember one specific time, shortly after I come back from getting saved, we had all went out to the pool, and some people were swimming and other people wasn't, and we were all young, and somebody decided to do a baptism. you know, they one of the pastors was there. I believe it was could have been Huey Wilson or
right in
you
the
know,
swimming pool.
And they did it right there on the spot in the swimming pool. You know what I'm saying? Like I never got baptized, but a lot of my friends did. And I remember thinking how great it was. Like it was, you know, it was so exciting. It was it was an enjoyable time. We had fun.
Amen.
Learning about Jesus. It wasn't a hard thing. We didn't feel like we were overworked, or we didn't feel like it was a chore. We didn't feel like, oh gosh, we got to go back and do this, or we have to show up at church today. We were excited. We were like, oh, where are you going tonight? I heard there's a meeting in this one's house, you know, because like everybody would open up their houses and they'd have spontaneous meetings and just read the Bible. We really didn't even know what we were doing, but we were learning about Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what really mattered. And, you know, that's all that really counts. That
Amen.
We know Jesus. Do you know what I mean? That we've met him. And it was a tremendous time. We went from there to Florida. And then in Florida, we had pastors there. And we went down to they had a news station. And we worked at the soup kitchen, volunteered at the soup kitchen. A bunch of the women, a bunch of the young people would work at the soup kitchen. And, you know, we desired to serve him. We wanted to be servants of his. We wanted to learn more about him and serve him.
Amen.
And, you know, we went from there to Pittsburgh. And in Pittsburgh, we had ladies' meetings in our houses. And,
Amen.
You know, Tissy would preach, I remember. And she was, like, that was so long ago. And
a young woman then, weekends.
Yes, and we would go to, I went to Pittsburgh. We were in Pittsburgh. And I met Shirley Broadway there and Pat CMG. And, you know, what they had, we wanted.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Like, we desired that. We were on fire for Jesus.
It was a common
you know?
Thread.
Yes.
Amen.
And we wanted what they had. Like, we desired that. It was a desire in our heart to learn more about him.
Amen.
And we were truly hungry. And that was what I remember the most, because I always wondered if I could get back to that, to be so hungry for him. You know, to be always talking about him, always wanting to learn more about him, you know, always wanting to have my friends know about him. You know, we didn't want to, like, leave anybody behind, like,
Amen.
You know what I mean? I remember you playing the guitar, and I was like, oh, Anime's playing the guitar. Like, I wonder, can I play the guitar? You know, which was a fail. But, I mean, I wanted to, you know what I mean?
You did things I couldn't do,
yes.
So that's how it works out.
Has to be a body.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it was a tremendous, tremendous time. Almost unexplainable.
Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful, Annie. I'm going to ask you a question I didn't write down that just popped in my head, so I'm putting you on the spot. How would you describe when you felt like you were called to do ministry or whatever it may have been through the years that you've done ministry? And I know not just ladies' meetings and stuff that you do and you minister in, but I know you did things that outside of the church as well, you know. And I remember you telling me about giving out things for the homeless people, all different things. If you're talking to young people, what was that feeling? What prompted you to that?
Well, at first, my mother volunteered me, because shortly after I got saved, my mother got saved, and my mother's a great volunteerer of other people.
Amen.
So she would volunteer, you know, she'd volunteer me to do any job that anybody else didn't want to do. And so I would just do it because, you know, whatever she said went, and we just did it. And then I began to really enjoy it, and even today I do. You know, if I'm doing something in the Lord's service, you know, that he's asked me to do, I enjoy it. Like I do. I try to have a good time doing it, because I believe that a cheerful heart, you know, we're supposed to be,
Amen.
Give our service with a cheerful heart.
Amen.
And, it always amazed me that the Lord would choose me to do that. You know what I'm saying? That I had that honor and privilege to do that thing, whatever it was.
A willing vessel.
So, that's kind of how it started. When I first got called to do the ladies' meeting, I had been in ladies' meetings for a long, long time. My mother used to open her house up again when I was a teenager, young teenager, and she would have different minister women come and preach in our house. And I had a younger brother, 10 years younger than me, so she would put me in nursery. You know, I had nursery in the bedroom. So I would be in nursery with all the kids, and Amen. They'd be preaching outside. And then eventually he grew up, and the kids got bigger, and we got other younger kids to do nursery, and I would sit in the service. And the Lord gave me a tremendous message on a movie. And I had watched the movie. It was a fleshly, like a fleshly movie. It wasn't a Christian movie. And I watched it with my husband. It was called Any Given Sunday. And the Lord began to reveal to me a message, and I knew that time that the Lord had called me into the ministry
Amen.
With amongst women, like when he gave me that message. Right. And that message I preached here
I remember.
At the Quality Inn, and then it went to, I preached it in Delaware, and I preached it in Baltimore in Ernie's church, and I preached it upstate New York somewhere. And so the Lord kind of led my ministry from there. It was kind of an easy access because I was familiar with that message.
Message, yeah.
So I didn't feel like intimidated, like ministering out of my hometown Amen. Group. So that was when I truly knew that I was called to
that
minister.
Was beautiful, Annie.
Praise
yes.
God, beautiful.
So now we're going to focus on Beauty for Ashes because there's a lot of people like myself don't understand. When somebody has a ministry, it's like when we started this podcast, they don't understand the workings of it and stuff. So how would you explain your ministry, Beauty for Ashes, you and Margaret Ann's, if someone is suffering a loss or how they can get in touch with you or just how it works, anything you want to care to share with us?
Well, we're on Facebook, and it's called Beauty from Ashes. It's old Margaret Ann's page, Nora's mom. And you can, I think, like you can, I'm not real technical, but I think you can like it, or you can friend her, and she'll put you on it.
Or messenger.
Or you can friend me, or messenger me, and I'll put you on it. And it's just, we put a lot of scriptures up. Sometimes we'll have a word, you know, that the Lord gives us. And even we've had other minister, you know, women that are widows that are ministers go on and encourage, and even ones that aren't.
Amen.
And it's just kind of like an encouragement. I found when I become a widow, it kind of all started there. You had asked me, Anna Mae, to go to a woman's retreat at RWC. And when I went there, you know, I was devastated. I had been married to my husband for a long time. He had been sick for a long time. And so I felt like I lost the fight. You know, I felt like I lost that fight. And even my faith was questioned in my own mind because I was like, well, how could I lose the fight? And I went with Anna Mae to the ladies' retreat, and really just by a wing and a prayer, and I believe, you know, I went there with her, and when we went there, I seen that lady, Melissa, and she had been a widow, a young widow, and left with several children for a while. And, you know, she was in church, and she had happy, and I looked at her, and I could tell she had peace. And I went up to her in private, and I said to her, how do you do this? Like,
Amen.
How do you do it? You know, because sometimes we just need direction on how to hold on, how to endure, how to go through, you know what I mean?
Amen.
And so she began to tell me, you know, and minister to me how the Lord had healed her broken heart and had brought her through these different circumstances and different things that had happened. And then ensuing, old Margaret Ann had become a widow, and she come out here to us in Phoenix. And when she come out here, I ended up getting her. We were friends, and I was ministering to her. And then she went in the same way, you know, that the how the Lord had got me through it, how he had brought peace and, you know, held my hand and walked me through the darkest places that I thought I would ever walk. And in that, she went home. And when she went home, the Lord showed her that we needed a page. Because, in other words, if Melissa could help me and I could help Amen. Her, Amen. Then the page could reach so many other people right. that God. Could be helped.
Praise Amen. God. That's beautiful, Annie. So they can get in touch with you through Facebook or Messenger, and then you can hook them up to it and prayer or anything like that at all.
Yes, for sure. Yes, for sure. You can private message us anytime. And we'll get back to you right away, me or her, Margaret Ann, and we'll for sure put you on the page. I think you can even like request to be put on the page.
Yes,
now it's like
it.
An
yeah,
open
yeah.
request. So it's called Beauty from Ashes.
Beauty from Ashes.
Yeah. And it's old Margaret Ann is the head of the page.
You're and just starting to work into that too. You have other plans and visions for it and stuff as it God makes it grow.
Yes, well, what we're trying to do is kind of follow the format of the Fearfully page, where they send out encouraging words and little gifts and little pick-me-ups, and the people know that, you know, somebody's praying for them and somebody's went through what you've went through. So we're kind of trying to follow their forum and get to the point where, you know, we would be able to do that. So, like, if you know somebody that's recently went through a loss or even hasn't recently went through a loss, but that they just need, like, a little pick-me-up yeah. or, you know, they need to know that somebody cares and somebody's praying for them, then certainly tell them about it or reach out to us, and we'll try to send them a little card in the mail to encourage them that, you know, the Lord loves them and he knows and he'll comfort them
Amen.
Like he comforted us.
Amen. Amen. Well, with that, and I'm really enjoying this so far, Annie.
God, praise God.
If you could, what would you share with someone who's dealing with a loss or dealing with grief?
The greatest thing that I found through the loss, which I ensued to lose my brother and my father and then my daughter, and the greatest thing that has gotten me through it, that walks me every day through it, is the love of Christ.
Amen.
To know that Christ Amen. Loves me so much. When I come home from, when my daughter went home to be with Jesus, the Lord had me go to the Songs of Solomon, which I had never read. I mean, I had read in and out of, but I really didn't, you know, I'm not a lovey-lovey person, and I never really, you know, I liked Isaiah was my favorite book, you know. I wanted more. So I was never really studied the Songs of Solomon, but he revealed to me great and mighty things of how much he truly loves us.
Amen.
And even though we think sometimes, like in our darkest moments, that how could he love us because this happened to us, that's when he loves us the most.
Amen.
And that's when he Praise wants God. To, you know, give us that peace that passes all understanding. I truly am here to testify and witness that that is a true and real thing.
Amen.
And if you reach out to a Jesus that loves you, he will give you that peace and you will have rest.
Amen.
And you will have that assurance that you will see your loved ones again, that this is just a temporary place that we're in, and that Jesus. he is a loving, loving Father.
Amen.
And so even in your darkest nights, he'll hold you tight.
Amen.
And that would be the thing I would most want to impress on somebody that was going through any kind of grief, is that you have a Savior that loves you.
Amen. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God.
Is there anything personal you'd like to add or say, you know, before we wrap this all up? Anything on your heart?
I'd just like to say that if you don't know Jesus, then be like we were. You know, we were also courageous because we were going into an unknown territory, something we weren't familiar with and we didn't really know nothing about. And we probably did all kinds of things that we shouldn't have done, but we just wanted to get to know Jesus.
Amen.
So I would say to you, you know, be courageous. Go in the tent. You know, Amen. Don't stay outside. Come inside. Listen
in
to the
tent.
Word of God. Come in the tent. I've never regretted the decision I made when I give my life to Christ, and I know you never will if you give him a chance.
Well, Annie, we'd sure like to thank you for coming on, taking the time out of your busy day, and sharing your heart. Truly touched us.
I want to say that passion and love that you shared when God blessed you for doing these things is when we can cry, Abba, Daddy, because we get so close to him at that time. Praise God.
Yes,
you're
amen.
A blessing, and we're thankful to have you on.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Annie. We love you.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. We hope you enjoyed it and was encouraged. Please follow us on Spotify for new episodes every week. If you download the Spotify app, which is free, it makes it much easier to find us. We'll be posting the link each week on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may you grow in His Word and Spirit. God bless.